I'm reading from the New International Version, Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, 1-8. At Mount Sinai, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord that commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1-11. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nancy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the story of your people Israel, for the stories of the early church that we receive from Luke. As we have heard these passages and as I speak, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O God, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. So I understand the sound at home is not ideal. I think I know why it's working and why the song didn't work, but it's not something I can fix mid-service. So for those at home, I hope you're able to hear me all right. For those here, it has no impact on you. Let us continue. So we are getting closer to Pentecost, right? It'll be at the beginning of June. And so we just finished reading through the end of the book of Luke. And so we're continuing through into the beginning of the book of Acts, leading up to the story of Pentecost. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about location, location, location. If you've ever sold a house or worked in real estate, you know that that is considered the key, right? And certainly, if you look at real estate listings in Ottawa, you could find nearly identical houses with vastly different price points depending on where they're located in the city. Location matters. I have lived, or my family and I have lived in three different houses. First in a little town called Ajax, and then next to it in a slightly bigger town called Whitby, and then finally here in Ottawa. And when we moved from Ajax to Whitby, we did it because all of a sudden our family of four was going to be a family, what we thought was going to be our family of four became a family of five when I found out we were having twins. And our house in Ajax, it just wasn't big enough. And we loved the neighborhood that we were in Ajax. Everything was really close. We could walk all over the place. It was lovely. But we couldn't afford the houses that were big enough for our family in that neighborhood. So we ended up moving to Whitby, into sort of the northern part of that town. And we moved into a neighborhood that was not very walkable. And as much as we liked to walk, we thought, you know what? Not the end of the world. There's lots of nice things around here. This is where the house is that we can afford. It'll be fine. And we very quickly realized how much we valued being able to walk everywhere. Where all of a sudden we had to drive to get groceries, we had to drive to get beyond our local park, if we wanted to get near the water, if we wanted to do anything, we had to drive to get there. I had to drive 20 minutes to get to the closest GO station so that I could then take the train and then the bus to get to where I worked the last year before we moved to Ottawa. And so when we moved, and the other thing I found about Whitby was that in our neighborhood, it was very hard to get to know our neighbors because we weren't the only ones who had to drive everywhere. And so what would happen is you would be in your home. None of the houses had porches in the front, so if you wanted to be outside on your property, you were in the backyard. And then if you wanted to go anywhere, you got into your car, maybe from your garage, and off you drove. And so it was very hard to meet our neighbors. And it felt like a place to live rather than a home. So both of us were really looking forward to moving. And so when we moved to Ottawa, we decided to go for a smaller house in a walkable neighborhood rather than something larger that would require us to drive everywhere. And what a difference it made. So we've been in our house now for 4 years. And even though it's smaller, and even though we don't really have a backyard, we don't have a garage, it feels more like home than that house in Whitby ever did. We know our neighbors a little bit better, certainly, than we knew the neighbors back in Whitby. And we walk everywhere. And so we're able to meet people along the street that we know, and the kids are able to walk to their friends' houses and bike and do all those things. It's made a big difference in our life and in where we are. And I know many of you live in neighborhoods where you feel very close to your neighbors. Not all of you, right? It depends on where you are and all sorts of other things. But it got me thinking about the role place has in our faith and the way we express our faith and the way we interact with others. And maybe at first glance, it might be tempting to say that place doesn't really have anything to do with God or with Jesus, right? That Jesus is Lord no matter where we are, right? That we can be Christian anywhere in the world, maybe some places with more risk than others. And we can talk about Jesus, certainly in North America, anywhere we are. So why does place matter? And yet, significant encounters with God in the Bible are virtually always associated with a specific place. Right? We don't just hear, we know that the Ten Commandments, if we've read Exodus, we know that the Ten Commandments, which comes immediately after the passage that Nancy read from Exodus, that happened on Mount Sinai. Right? We know the name of the place where Jesus was crucified. We read the crucifixion story. Right? The place of the skull, Golgotha. We know where Jesus was arrested and betrayed, if we've read that story, right? The Mount of Olives. We have all these place names, right? We know the sea that Moses parted, the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds. We have place names associated with all of these significant things that happen in the Bible. And when God makes a promise to Abraham, it's not just an abstract promise, right? He talks about a specific land that his family is going to live in, right? So somehow, in the Bible at least, place is important. So it's worth, perhaps, for us to think about why. So what comes with a specific place? And I talked about this a bit with the kids, right? A specific place involves particular geography, right? Whether it's hilly or flat, whether it's near water or desert, the temperature, the average temperature through the year, the differences in seasons. If you're a gardener, you know that there are certain plants you cannot grow in Ottawa, that you can grow other places. For my birthday last year, my aunt sent me this beautiful azalea bush for my birthday with the thought that I could plant it in my garden because she's on Vancouver Island. And on Vancouver Island, you can plant azaleas in the garden. I've done some research. I don't think it's going to live the winter if I plant it in my garden. Place matters. It also matters in terms of what we value. Right? One of the first things you do if you're in a rural area when you turn 16 is you get your driver's license. And for many of those people, they've been driving the family tractor since they were 11 or 12 or 10 or I don't know what age. I'm not a rural person. But I hear these stories, right, of my friends who came from rural areas who've been driving on their property for 4 or 5 years before they're old enough to get their license. Right? There are people who live in urban areas, not everyone, but lots who never get a license, or they get it at 25, or what have you, right? The value of a car changes depending on how easy it is to get around without one, right? Your interests can change. One of the things that didn't shock me, but became very apparent when I moved to Ottawa, is how much more politics matter here than they do when I was living in Toronto, right? If you've grown up in Ottawa, you might not see it. But municipal elections here are a way bigger deal than anywhere that I had lived before or anybody of my family that had talked about before, because politics is like imbued in the nature of this city because it's our capital. Getting to know our neighbors require being there. If you move into a new neighborhood, what do? Maybe you walk around, you find the local haunts, you find the family-owned restaurant, you meet people, you talk to them. You create personal connection. And I think all of that relates to God. I think if God had wanted to be a big, impersonal, do it and leave it alone God, God could have been a disembodied voice that provided instruction regardless of location, right? We could have a series of just instructions from God, right? Our Bible could just be, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, here are the promises, call it a day. But God didn't do that, and I'm going to propose that's because God's not interested in being distant. God wants a personal relationship. God wants a real connection with us. And that requires context. That requires being in a place together. God wants to get personal. And so the place and the context and the people matter. Look at Moses on Mount Sinai. For those of you who have read Moses' story, you may remember the story of the burning bush. Moses meets God within this burning bush on Mount Horeb. Guess what? Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, as far as anyone can tell, they're the same place. So God makes this promise in this specific place to this specific man. And then, after he fulfills that promise, he renews that promise and that covenant in the same place. So that every time anyone, Moses or any of his descendants, see that mountain, they're reminded. Perhaps even when they see any map, they remember mountains are important. That's where God appeared. That's why we read about them in the Psalms. And of course, there's that symbolism, right, of being on a mountain, of being raised up. Right? Like I said with the kids, that Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Whenever they see those mountains, they think of God. And so all of that provides us with context and background for thinking about a different group of people near a different mountain. And what you don't hear in what Nancy read, but what we hear in the very next verse, which we'll read next week, it says after that whole story of the disciples encountering Jesus and Jesus being raised up into the heavens, they returned from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. So that place before, when Jesus was arrested, that place where Jesus prayed for his people, that's where Jesus ascends from. That's where the disciples encounter him for the last time in the body, in the flesh. And so we have this beginning of this book of Acts, right? This is part two to a story that Luke has been telling from Jesus' birth through. And so the beginning, chapter one, in some ways recaps Luke 24, but it adds new details. So there's Jesus, he appears in the body, right? Jesus doesn't just again appear as a disembodied voice that says, don't worry, I'm risen, everything's okay, right? He appears in places, he appears on the road to Emmaus, not just some random road in a random street. He appears on the road to Emmaus, we talked about that. He goes into a home with them and has a meal with them. He appears in the upper room where they're quaking with fear, his disciples. And he eats with them, and he offers them peace. And he appears to them on the Mount of Olives and gives them instructions. He says, you will be my witnesses. And then he names a bunch of places. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Couldn't Jesus have just said, you will be my witnesses everywhere? He could have, but he chooses to name these places, in part because the way you're witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem is different from the way that you are a witness. We've got something going on somewhere. And we're done. My apologies. The way you're a witness in Jerusalem in first century Palestine with what's just happened to Jesus is different from the way you are witness to Jesus in Judea and Samaria, where Jesus did most of his teaching, farther away from where he was crucified, away from where people may have witnessed him when he was resurrected from the dead. And it's different again from the way you witness to about Jesus everywhere else, out of Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem, where people don't even know who this man named Jesus was or is, who maybe have never heard of the God of Israel, who don't know the stories, right? Jesus thought it was important for us to know that place matters. And then, of course, he leaves by physically leaving the earth. And he rises up, it says, into the heavens. And probably unsurprisingly, I think I would do this too if I were Jesus' disciples, they're left staring. Until two men show up. And they say, what are you doing? Why are you staring? Go! You have work to do. Get going to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit will come. And so they remind him that we can't just stop. We can't just stay in the place that we are and watch for Jesus to come back. That's not how it works. We need to be in motion. We know, those of us who spend time in this building, that our location matters. Just being south of the 417 changes the characteristic of the neighborhood around us. Being on the other side of the 417 made it harder for us to partner with Parkdale Food Center to offer fresh growing space. Because there's something about crossing under that highway that makes you feel like you're somewhere different, right? Things change again, the characteristics change again if you go south of Carling, right? The types of houses are different, the people who live in those houses are different, the character of the neighborhood changes. And that's not to say we don't want to reach those people. We have many wonderful people who live south of Carling and north of the 417 and in other places in Kanata and Orleans and Barhaven and all of these different places who come and choose to worship here. But in terms of how we connect with our neighborhood, right, this is our neighborhood. And we're invited into personal connections with one another, but also with our neighbors. It's wonderful to have a chance to connect with the schools that are here. But that only works because we're present in the same space together at the same time, right? It's one of the reasons why most of the time I come here to work. I have a laptop at home. I can prepare for Sunday morning at home. But it's different being here. And I've gotten to know those who come here, our community members, because I'm physically here in this space. And I just need to say one thing about digital spaces, because those are spaces too. For those who are active online, the type of content and information that you share and the way you share it changes depending on whether you're on Facebook or on YouTube or on TikTok or on our website. Different people and have different expectations of those spaces. And so they deserve thoughtful consideration and attention on how we engage. Our faith is deeply contextual and deeply locational. We cannot think that the way we express our faith here, on this corner, in this space, is universal, is going to be the same. Our God is universal. Jesus is universal. He's everywhere. But the way we talk about our faith changes, right? And you know this to some extent, right? You talk about Jesus probably differently here than you do at work. Or with your family member who is violently aggressive against Christians for whatever reason. Right? That's all what we're talking about. And I think the invitation that we're given here is to not get caught staring at the sky when there's work to be done. At least not too often. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your invitation into your kingdom. We thank you that you have no desire to be a distant God, that you want to connect with us, that you know us intimately, and you invite us into a similar intimate relationship with you and with one another and with our neighbors. Help us to do that boldly and courageously. Help us to see the work there is to be done and to do it joyfully in your strength. Amen.